Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
As he's going down into the water, and then he goes down into the belly of the fish, as he's sliding down, imagine the feeling of the slime and all and whatever, as he's going down, as he's saying, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to, the stubbornness in this guy.
My heart beats for you, filled with power and mystery. Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful. I give you all of mine. Lord, you're the song I sing, perfect in everything.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of Jonah, we begin a two-part study titled, Submitting to God's Will. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from Jonah chapter 2, beginning in verse 1.
Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed up around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Just to remind you of the outline, if you weren't here with us last week, chapter 1 of Jonah is running from God's will. Chapter 2, submitting to God's will, and that's what we'll cover today. Chapter 3, fulfilling God's will, and chapter 4, questioning God's will. And if you recall from last week, if you were with us, and if you weren't, I'd encourage you to pick up the message or listen to it on the internet. As we left off, we left Jonah in the belly of the great fish. We left him there for a week, even though he was only there 3 days and three nights in the Word. And we know that this great fish was Jonah's salvation. We saw how God used Jonah in chapter 1 in spite of himself with the sailors in the boat. And how that even though Jonah had disobeyed, God was still working, God was still moving, and that the theme of the book of Jonah really is God's sovereign work in the heart, both of Jonah, of the sailors, of the people of Nineveh, really of all people. And these sailors, they got saved in spite of Jonah, even with Jonah, and taking Jonah and throwing him into the sea was sort of the act of salvation, if you will. They had tried to save themselves, it tells us there in the first chapter, how they had tried to row to the land and they couldn't save themselves. But God had a plan, and God's plan was that they take Jonah and they throw him into the sea. And so for the sake of the sailors, Jonah gave his life. We see a great picture there of the cross of Jesus Christ. In his death, burial and resurrection. And we even see the picture of the resurrection within the story of Jonah. And we know that Jesus likened this story to his resurrection when he said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so too we see that as Jonah was cast into the sea, so Jesus was buried in the tomb. And even as Jesus rose from the dead, in a sense, Jonah will rise. Now, Jonah is not the greatest example of a prophet, but he is a type of Christ. And we find Jonah here in this great fish. And now we see in verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed. But we see it says, and Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights. And then it says, and then Jonah prayed. I don't know about you, but I see something in that that tells me Jonah was a rather stubborn man, don't you? It took him 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish to pray. I would hope that I would pray sooner than that. I would hope you would pray sooner than that. I would hope that we would pray perhaps when the storm came up on the sea. Remember, all Jonah had to say was, take me to Nineveh, and everything would have been smooth. Everything would have been fine. But no, Jonah, he is a stubborn guy. So when they even say to him to pray to the Lord, his God, when the captain makes the suggestion that he pray, Jonah doesn't pray. We see them praying to their false gods, but Jonah doesn't pray to the true and living God. Not until he's in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. This is one stubborn dude, right? He does confess he's a Hebrew. He's a follower of the true and living God. But he doesn't pray. Jonah's solution to the problem is, throw me into the sea. Just get rid of me. Cast me away. Jonah has given up. He's pretty much committing suicide because he knows being thrown into the sea. Remember, Jonah doesn't know the end of the story. It's not like Jonah says, throw me into the sea because the Lord's going to send a great fish to swallow me up, and the fish that swallows me up is going to regurge me out on the beach, and he's going to take me to the beach, and then I'm going to walk over to Nineveh, and I'm going to do what God says. Jonah doesn't know that. When Jonah says, throw me into the sea, he means throw me into the sea, and he means kill me. Throw me into this raging sea. Throw me into this place where I'm going to drown. And even though the seas did calm down when they threw him in, he's still cast adrift in the middle of the ocean. Now, it's been done that people have lived a long time cast adrift in the middle of the ocean. I was reading a story about a man named Steve Callahan, who was quite a mariner. He actually made his own boat that didn't hold together in a storm. But then he had a life raft, a 6-foot life raft, that he ended up living for 76 days in the middle of the ocean. But he had a lot of things with him. He had a spear gun. He had some water and some supplies that he saved from the boat as he got into the life raft. And he was very adept at being at sea, so he knew a lot about it. And so he took that spear gun, and he was able to feed himself by shooting fish. And he was able to get water through creating a still that would have the rainwater and would purify the rainwater, and he drank a pint of water a day. He had a flare gun so he could bring attention to himself. So he lived 76 days. Jonah wasn't any of that. Jonah was just a prophet of God. And he gets thrown into this sea. Now, Jonah's prayer here, and that's what chapter 2 really is. It's all about Jonah's prayer to God. It shows God's power. It doesn't show Jonah's great ability to pray or Jonah's deep prayer life. But it shows the power of God. But he does pray in his despair as the waters are around him, as he sinks to the bottom of the sea. And then it speaks of Jonah's dedication in verses 7 to 9, and then Jonah's deliverance in verse 10. Now, as we come to this, I wonder how this happened. As the sailors took Jonah and the mariners, and they picked him up, and they threw him into the sea, did the whale or the great fish come along right then and there? Imagine seeing that. Imagine you take a guy who says, throw me into the sea because the raging seas are here, the winds and the waves are here are because of me. So throw me into the sea. So you throw him into the sea, and then you see this huge whale perhaps come and swallow him up. You'd sit there and go, this guy's really got it bad. I mean, he can't do anything right. And you would figure, well, maybe it's mercy. I don't know. You know, he's dead. He's inside the belly of a fish. And by the way, again, I want to remind you that if you are skeptical about this story of Jonah, and you say, how can this be true? Well, remember, Jesus did correlate this story with his resurrection. And if you're skeptical about this, then you're skeptical about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. So if you believe in this, you believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in this, then perhaps you're struggling with believing in the resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We know that, amen? And, you know, in this Mediterranean Sea area, there were a lot of different kinds of fish that could potentially have swallowed Jonah. There's a sulfur bottom whale. There's a whale shark that would they grow to over 50 feet long. There are whales, the sperm whale, that grows to over 100 feet long. And some of these don't even have teeth. And so we looked at that story last week of James Bartlett, who was found inside a whale after 30 hours. Not, you know, some argue that that story is not true. I happen to believe it is true. I just think the skeptics who don't want to believe that the story of Jonah is true have done everything they could to refute that story too. There is a confirmed story of a dog that was found in the sinuses of a whale. Imagine what that sneeze must have been like. But we see here Jonah's despair as we come to this. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Imagine this place that he prayed from. The waters all closed around him. In Psalm 130, it says, out of the depths I've cried to you, O Lord. Out of the depths. Jonah could have written that. And we know that much of Jonah's problems were self-inflicted, and so also with that psalm where it goes on to speak about how there's forgiveness in you and how we need to seek the Lord and be fearing the Lord. It amazes me that it would take him 3 days and three nights to pray. Imagine the position he's in. It's dark. It's smelly. There's acid juices coming from this fish. If it was a whale, it would have been 98.6 degrees inside that whale. So he's sweating, it's gross, he's cramped, it's hot, it's disgusting. He may have been sick to his stomach himself, so then the smell and, oh, just imagine. Maybe you'd rather not. At least not before lunch. But what kind of conversations was he having with God? There's no food, no water. What is Jonah thinking about at this point? As he's going down into the water, and then he goes down into the belly of the fish, as he's sliding down, imagine the feeling of the slime and all the whatever, as he's going down, as he's saying, you know, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to Nineveh, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, the stubbornness in this guy. But he does pray from the belly of the great fish. He was in despair and he prayed. Are you in despair today? Oh, you know, maybe you're not in that dark a place. Maybe your world isn't that smelly. But yet you're in a place. You're in a dark place. You're in a place of affliction. You're in a place of despair. Can I tell you that you can cry out to the Lord in that place? You can pray from that place and God will hear your prayer. It says in verse 2, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried and you heard my voice. The Lord will hear your prayer no matter where you are. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter how distant you have been from the Lord, no matter how dark the world you're living in, no matter what you've done, if you will cry out to the Lord with a sincere heart, he will hear you. But there has to be honesty. There has to be some honesty with this. Notice verse 3, you cast me into the deep. He realizes that God is the one who put him there. And no matter what's going on in your life, you need to realize that God has allowed it in your life. Now, it's not that God wanted Jonah to be disobedient, but in Jonah's disobedience, he allowed him to go there, and he will then work it out for his purposes. That no matter what happens in your life, God will work it for his purposes. You see, the Bible says that all things will work together for the good of them who love God. Everything. He has a plan and he has a purpose for everything in my life and in your life, if you know him, if you have a relationship with him. Now, if you don't know him and you don't have a relationship with him, you know what he'll do? He'll work out things in your life for his purposes to bring you to him. That's what he wants to do, is he wants to bring you to a place of submission to God. That's what he's doing with his prophet Jonah. He's trying to get him to submit to God's will, to his will. And you know, there are things that happen in our life that you just can't sometimes figure out why they happen, and you can't figure out what's going on around them, and you wonder, what's the purpose in this, Lord? And there are things, I confess, in my own life that I say that about that I may not know the answer to until I get to be in heaven. Maybe he'll show me a little video camera of what happened and how it fit. But there are times when some things happen, like, for example, a number of years ago when I was body surfing in Mexico, and I rode this wave. It was probably the best wave I ever caught in my life. You ever have one of those? If you ever ride surf, if you ever do any surfing, I got on the top of that baby, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a good one. Until I looked down and saw that there was no water below me. Straight down was sand. And the way that wave worked is it sucked all the water back up, and I got on top of it. And I was a bit heavier back then. And, you know, when you're doing this thing, body surfing, and you're in trouble, you're supposed to tuck and roll. Well, I tucked, but I couldn't quite roll, if you know what I mean. And I went straight down. My head went into the sand, and my body flipped over the top. I whiplashed my neck so badly, I ended up with 7 herniated discs. Now, praise the Lord, I'm okay. I came home in a neck brace, and I thought, you know, this was horrible, right? And I'm thinking, God, what could be your purpose for this? As it happened, and I literally went down, and as I'm going down, I went, I didn't know! You know. But the guy who helped me out of the water turned out to be a brother in the Lord. He was a Christian. And he's praying for me as we're walking out of the water. And then we had been witnessing all week, my wife and I, to another couple that we had gone on some excursions with, we had met, and they weren't Christians. We were sharing with them. Well, in my injury, me meeting this guy, I was able to introduce this Christian couple to this non-Christian couple, and they were both staying a whole nother week. And as I left, that witness got to be picked up because of my injury. Now, I don't know what greater purposes God might have in that injury, but if that's the only purpose, and I don't know if that couple ever came to the Lord, but if they did come to the Lord and that additional witness had a hand in that, it's worth a sore neck, isn't it? You see, we never know how God wants to use what may be going on in and around our life. But here in Jonah's life, Jonah, he finally is in this place where he's starting to pray. It says in the end of verse 3, into the heart of the seas, the floods surrounded me, all your billows and all your waves passed over. Will you notice that he calls them your billows, your waves? He is acknowledging God's sovereignty over the whole thing. He starts to pray. He starts to realize that God's in control. God's in control. Do you know that today? That no matter what's going on in your life, God's in control. God is not up in heaven pacing, worried about you. God is not concerned that you're not going to make it through. God knows what's going on in your life. And if you will trust him, you will make it to the other side. Remember in the storms that Jesus sent the disciples, he sent them into the storm. And he said, go over to the other side. In the middle of the storm, they freaked out and said, we're dying, Lord, we're drowning, we're done. But they didn't remember that Jesus said, I'll see you on the other side. And he will see us on the other side, right? It says in verse 4, then I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. Now, Jonah's theology is not perfect here. Because the first thing he says is, I have been cast out of your sight. That's really not accurate, is it? We know according to Psalm 139, he said there, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I descend into Sheol, you are there. The Lord is everywhere. He sees you no matter where you are. He sees everything in your life. He knows what's going on in your life. But he does get the second half of the theology right when he says, I will look again toward your holy temple. Jonah is beginning to turn here. He believed he would live through this now. He began to come to his senses. He starts to come to himself and realize, this is it. I've got to change. Like the prodigal son in the story that Jesus told, when that prodigal son who had gone away and wasted all his father's riches, and when he's sitting in the pig pen and he's in that place where he knows, he finally, it says, and he came to his senses, or he came to himself. He came to the point where he realizes it's time. It's time to turn to the Lord. It's time to realize. And that prodigal said, I will go to my father. I will go home to my father. And let me say to you today, if you've been away from your father, will you come home today? The Lord loves it. It's the most wonderful thing when a child of God who has been disobedient, who has been struggling, and they begin to open their eyes again to the truth. There's a beauty in repentance. God loves to see his children repent. That word repent means to change direction, to turn around, to be heading one way and to turn around and head the other way. Will you do that today if you've been away? He's calling you home. And if you're in that dark place of the belly of the fish, cry out to him in prayer and he will begin to give you light again. You'll start to get hope again. I love the song by Chris Tomlin, where the chorus goes, I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful God forever. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to lift our hands again. He wants us to cry out to him again. To pour our hearts and remember from where we have fallen, to remember what our life was when we were walking strongly with him, to do our first works again, as it says in Revelation chapter 3, to come back, to come home. And God is calling you home today.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCarrick. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR3203. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of Jonah. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.